There we go. Well, good afternoon.
It is from the worldwide resources of the Border Poll Journal for January 26, 2024. This is
Episode two. Surprise, surprise.
I thought I'd do something dramatic, you know, because we usually just come on, you know, very placid and quiet. I thought we'd come out with something. But, you know, like they used to do in the old days. Dun, 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 dun.
And we need some sober introduction, like a Walter Cronkite bit. You know?
Yeah, well, that was a very poor imitation. But you got to put some levity into this. You know, people think we're just two old serious guys, you know, with no sense of humor.
Well, they're right about one thing. We're old guys.
Well, yes. But what's old?
It's a state of mind.
That's right. Exactly.
I get up this morning and I thought it was 19. Well, now, but I think about 106. So
I tell you, I don't know why my head's so big on the screen.
It might just be because you're full of things that you just want to.
I just don't want to know what's happened to the camera here. It's zoomed in on me. I should be way back here somewhere, I guess.
Ooh.
Is that better?
Well, that's not bad. Yeah.
Okay. And plus, I don't have all the reflection of the camera.
Yeah, I should probably do the same. Yeah.
I keep seeing is myself in my lenses. But anyway, here we are on a Friday afternoon. All is not well.
Well, there's an awful lot in the world that's going on, and it does make you stop and want to shake your head. But gosh, here in Canada, we've got a lot of things that are going on. We've got a lot of things that we're hearing about going on in the United States. Europe doesn't sound much better. Haven't heard much out of Asia. Maybe there's good things in Asia. What do you think?
I don't know. My bucket is so full of stuff just from this neck of the woods that I can't go and find any more to depress me.
Yeah, that's true too, but holy smokes, yeah. Yes, and again, for a way of starting the conversation off, we've had our federal government brought to task for invoking a serious piece of legislation which apparently shouldn't have been invoked. And people running around telling us how, well, the courts got it wrong.
Yeah, well, of course, when you're found guilty, you always plead innocence. That's a normal reaction.
Aren't jails full of innocent people?
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, for those who aren't knowing what the hell we're talking about here, it's the Federal Court of Canada on Tuesday determined that the Emergency Act, which basically was a successor to the War Measures Act that is used in time of war and insurrection or what have you, over the truckers'
protest.
And the protest, yes, in Ottawa and smattering elsewhere, was found to be unconstitutional. In other words, they overstepped their authority. And now the question is, what next? So lots of people were tossed in jail, charged, acquitted, not acquitted. And lots of folks are still having their court cases heard in different parts of the country as a result of that edict by the Ottawa leadership, which now has to backpedal and do one of two things. It can appeal this ruling, which apparently they have said they will, minus the Prime Minister has yet, as of this afternoon, to say anything about this. The chief organizer of this debacle. Or they can basically say nothing and suffer the consequences from the electorate or other court cases, because as you know, if you lose a case in court, or if the law is found to be ultra vires, meaning it has no effect, then all those people who were caught up in this web of arrests and so forth by the authorities are going to have one hell of a good time with their lawyers in civil suits against the government of Canada.
Well, not just the people that were arrested, the people who had their bank accounts seized and funds frozen, and yeah, that's.
By the way, there's just a on that issue. Do you realize they only have until the 24th of February to do anything about this?
No.
Yeah, because the courts that brought about this is really legal beagle stuff. But 2 years ago is when all this happened, when Chrystia Freeland merrily announced that these people's bank accounts are going to be frozen, except that was under Ontario's criminal or whatever law they use that says in Ontario, you have 2 years to appeal it. That runs out on the 24th of February.
Which may interest a few people, but it's interesting that nothing has been aired about that particular aspect of the case.
Well, it has. In legal circles, well, I saw it a number of places where they said, okay, you can the appeal will have an impact on this because if you are wrongfully charged as a consequence of the actual legislation that these people invoked and subsequently charges made under the criminal code or what have you. Even if it's a misdemeanor or non-indictable offense, you only have a 2 year window to appeal that decision. So people who are acquitted is one thing, but people whose cases are still in front of the court or your bank account, what do you call it, to damage you was that any damage that was incurred as a result of your bank account being frozen, you got till the 24th of February challenge. So, a lot of lawyers are going to be busy. I bet you the cost of doing this is not going to be a small amount. I mean, this is you're asking to go up against the federal government on this. And the other thing that was bandied about, and again, not being a lawyer, just reading it quickly as a result of some reports in the press is that class action suits against the government and this are also going to be possible, and there'll be all kinds of folks involved in that. So it's a mess, just from that perspective.
Boy, I don't know where to go on that one. It's a strange place. One that
Well,
we should have been in the first place, but
Karma, as they say in the vernacular, can be a bitch.
Well, it's also interesting too that the minister that was involved in processing this has resigned, moved on to better things, supposedly.
Mr. Lametti is gone at the end of the month. He's packed up his tent, cleaned out his social.
Media accounts, yeah.
Yes, and is going to disappear like last year's snow. This is probably indicative of a collapse in the confidence of the current administration in Ottawa. I think when you have an MP from Avalon, his name is Ken something or other. I can't remember his surname, but anyway. He came out and basically suggested that there should be a leadership review, meaning his boss needs to be held to account. Turns out, within a couple of days, he rescinded that and with a written statement, of course, not in the same style and vernacular that he speaks. Clearly, it was a note written by someone in the Prime Minister's office, political branch, perhaps Miss Telford or somebody else. and say, "Oh no, I don't. Everything is hunky dory. He's great leadership and great confidence. You know, the usual stuff." So they must have read the riot act to this poor guy, and that was the end of that.
Yes, well, it was nice. I had thought to say that somebody had finally stood up and said the emperor is not wearing any clothes, but apparently I've been hoodwinked once again. He must be.
Well, it's nasty business, you know. I suspect that the rats on the ship will jump fairly soon. But you know, there's only this particular government has is so disrespected on so many levels, and has really, you know, even in the best of times, most governments after 8, 9 years start to smell. You know, they run out of runway. They run out of steam, whatever analogy you want to use. This bunch really is living on borrowed time as far as the political longevity is.
And that's evident on a couple of fronts that we talked about pre-production. One was the free trade agreement between Britain and Canada is now done.
Suspended
Sometimes
for certain.
I don't know, done, maybe not quite done, but they've withdrawn, and there's no further talks scheduled. Indicates to me that things are done, but doesn't necessarily preclude that they may be renegotiated or reopened at some point in the future. Second comes when we had provincial leaders talk to the government about the rise of the number of refugee claimants in the country, and happened to pick on one country, Mexico. Where we may be putting visas back on Mexican nationals to enter this country again. And Mexico's saying, but claims are going down. Why do you need a visa? So it's adding more and more things to these guys. What was it? It used to be when the federal government, you would have your performance review and you would go on the internet and search out performance reviews, and you would get little quippets like, people only follow this person around because they want to know where you're going, or this individual would be out of his depth in a parking lot puddle. Well, I think we've reached that with with this current government here. I don't think there's anything left for them to do.
Well, they're easy targets for disdain and rebuke by folks who are not their friends to begin with. But even their internal polling, I'm sure, is showing that you know they're just disliked. You know, and again, to be charitable, it's a government that really is like fish. They're starting to smell now, and people have had enough. The problem is that they don't really grasp, I think, yet the depth to which the folks outside of their base, who they must talk to all the time, dislike them. And you know, this at some point, it doesn't matter whether you might even come up with a grand idea to do some good. These people don't understand empathy with respect to the voters. They do a lot of talking, but they don't send a message that really resonates with people anymore. I mean, their tired slogans don't work. This is not to say that the alternative, should the election be held in Canada soon, that they would be tossed out of office. I don't have a lot of hope for the conservatives, who would likely form a majority government, because they're, as we spoke about in pre-production, they're going to go to the cupboard and there's not going to be anything there. It's going to be empty.
We had mentioned it. Yeah, Mother Hubbard's cupboard would have way more than what's in ours, but
Yeah, and so you're going to have a disenchanted population already because of these mugs that are running the show right now. When the new crowd takes over, it has to stand in front of the podium and say, "Well, you know, we've got some great plans, but it's going to take time." And how are you going to keep the folks down on the farm? We're going to say, "We don't have time. We're going broke." We don't have jobs. We don't have houses. We got too many people here out, living out in the street. You got to start coming up with solutions. There's I have empathy at the moment for the future of the conservatives. Should they form the government, they're gonna have a super majority, but they're still not gonna have any bucks to play with.
No, that's true. Yeah. But, we should, excuse me, that's easy to know that the current prime minister has needs another 4 years to get his programs through. I don't know what those programs are or where we're going to get the money from, but I've been surprised before, so I might be surprised again.
Well, I hope you're not surprised. I don't, change is necessary now. I mean, this is a guy who can't fix housing, but he's going to fix the world's climate. I mean, please, this is just a joke. The amount of as I say disrespect and derision that is shown abroad, much less inside this country, towards this to this bunch is really it's embarrassing. We need to wipe the board clean and start with some other folks to make fun of, because these people aren't even funny anymore to make fun of. This is so sad. The in 2015 this guy comes on with so much promise of getting things done, and he's fresh and new and young and vibrant, and he's turned out to be quite the opposite over time. And so when you get things like the federal court saying you're way out of line doing what you did here, and he's Mr. Dress Up Chameleon, whatever, is not cutting it with people anymore. It's not funny anymore. Okay, is the antics of this government do not come across the general public as being, oh, they're just having fun and everything's hunky-dory. This isn't working. But as I said, as a side to this, I saw a stat I was telling you about earlier that shows that Canada's GDP under this government is now 54% of the GDP is for government programs, is being spent by government programs. This is outrageous. When you're into that kind of territory, you're into the same sort of territory that the Soviet Union was in its heyday, where between 50 and 70% of the GDP went to running the government program. We are going to build many tractors, but we don't need many tractors. Doesn't matter. We're building many tractors. It's the same stuff these guys are doing. And this is in a country that is got sort of shadow authoritarianism playing, and it's scary stuff. And so how a new government coming into power is going to grapple with reducing the amount of government expenditures to GDP is going to be a real challenge, because you're going to have to shut down a big percentage of the public service that you can't pay, because they're not producing anything. Okay, you're going to get an awful lot of people very angry who've gotten used to suckling at the teat of government over the last 20 years. I'll even throw the previous bunch into that basket, because this was a growth industry in this country where the government sticks its nose into every trough it can. So it's going to be tough, very, very tough. And don't expect ex the expectations better be made very clear to folks very early in the new when this other government, when it does come about, and it will. I mean, these people cannot keep this up, because there's just too many things going on, and too many failures, too many scandals.
Well, it goes back to our quote again from Lord Acton, right? Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And you kind of wonder at this point, are they grasping at straws to hold on to that power so that they can have more power? I don't
Well,
know.
history shows us that when a authoritarian leadership is finding that they're on the ropes, they become like a wounded animal. They do weird things. They start flailing about, and it's that and then you have to be very concerned with what they're likely to do or try to do to stay in power. And without being alarmist or anything, you have to keep that in mind because there's a lot of folks whose reputations, their bank accounts, their well-being rides on staying in power. And if that starts to fall apart, they'll hold on any way they can, and sometimes in ways that are going to be very disgusting.
Well, I guess too, just as a segue into other issues, is part of that nature that you're talking about with acting like a wounded animal or trying to be like the magician to get us to look to the left instead of the right, now becoming evident with the current government putting together a Team Canada to try and have some influence over whether the US should elect Mr. Biden or Mr. Trump. Yeah. Is that a problem there? I don't know.
Well, I think that is narcissism and overreach combined here. First of all, if I were an American, I would take umbrage at that and say, it's none of your damn business.
Well, that's true.
I'm a Democrat or a Republican.
Well, and
You
as I
keep your
mentioned,
nose out of my election.
as mentioned in pre-production too, Tom, that I was somewhat upset when former President Obama came up here and endorsed the current Prime Minister. You might be friends and you might be good buddies, but you should have come up here and specified that I'm doing this as Barack Obama, not as former President Barack Obama. And that's the way it came across, and
Sure.
it galled me. So I'm sure that something like this would gall the average American as well.
Yeah, and this is a, as you point out, this is a little bit more insidious because former President Obama showing up here as a private citizen, playing pals with the current PM is one thing. But a government of Canada leadership pulling together a team to try and influence or interfere with, at worst, the election process in the United States is deeply different. And there's been no approval by the Canadian population to, get involved in the election of our southern neighbors. None of our damn business.
And it
And
goes.
so this is a is not a good, even as a dumb idea, it's not a good idea.
Well, it plays totally opposite, I guess, to what we're here, because we're now concerned that we have election meddling going on in Canada, which
Sure.
we don't like. So, how can we, on one hand, say that we don't like this and we shouldn't have that, but then we appear to be going out and doing just that?
Yeah, and more to the point, things aren't going that well down south, vis-a-vis their relations with with relationship with the border issues. There's a very difficult time in the U.S., and whether you're a Democrat or Republican, again, you're not going to need the advice of Canada on how to deal with that because you don't like one candidate or the other. And so when we are looking at a border situation, you brought up Mexico telling Canada we don't need to have visas on Mexicans. Like, I'm thinking, what is that of your bit? It's not your business if Canada decides if there's going to be visas on Mexico. But when you have an American administration that is suing a sovereign state like Texas over whether they should be putting concertina wire on the border to keep illegals out. And today, we don't know what the effect is today because as we speak, the toing and froing between Washington and Texas is going on legally. But when I heard a predominant, or rather prominent, mixing my words here, a prominent constitutional expert, Alan Dershowitz, talking about what the U.S. Constitution allows a sovereign state to do with respect to protecting its interests, in this case, protecting the border. You've got some clashes here. And this morning, I was reading that 25 of the 50 states' governors have backed Texas on this issue, saying that the border is should be protected, and if the federal government doesn't want to do it, then they'll do it. Well, now that's curious that the federal government, as I understand it, the Biden administration wants to open the border, while the states want to close the border. So the question is, why do you want, what is the intent on allowing people who have no business coming into the border without the process of examination by the authorities to see if they're eligible to enter the United States? Why are you circumventing that, your own laws? I mean, this, so the intent of that is what? To grandstand politically because the Texan governor is a Republican and Biden is a Democrat? Or is there something that's much more insidious, which some pundits will tell you is exactly the case, that you've got somewhere around 8 million plus folks who've entered the country illegally for the past 3 years who are likely becoming voters for the very person who's opened the border to them as a thank you very much. I've made the promised land, so all you've got my vote. There's a there, it's, this is very much an issue that even folks here in Canada better be aware of, because if things don't go well in the US on this, they won't go well for us either.
No, it's true.
I mean,
And there's also talk on one of the debates about not only do we need a wall on the southern side, we need a wall on the northern side. And
yes. Yeah, and I'm thinking this is spinning out of control here, because there are things that are being said that might be done which are going to have serious and
implications.
consequences that one of the issues for Canada is that 80% of our food products are imported from the US, particularly in the wintertime. We don't have the climate that the US has. Our agricultural products are brought in from market in 2 months of the year. That's it. That's because we live in a northern climate. So if the combination of problems internally in the US combined with their dislike of Canadian interference in their internal affairs becomes a compounded sort of anti-Canadian approach by the government. And I don't, and again, I don't care in the case of this protectionist of you. You can be a Democrat as well as a Republican. Don't stick your nose in my business. And if you're going to give me all this anti-American grief, I'll give it back to you in kind. So, there's a lot to be
Oh, yeah.
concerned about here. And of course, as a you can have a black swan event happening in the US over this whole border immigration business that will turn out very badly for us if they're preoccupied with dealing with themselves. This is not something to be trifled with, in my view.
No. Not even, well, not even thought about. Well, think about maybe, but once you've thought about it, you should come to the sense that this isn't going to turn out well. We
Exactly.
don't, when it happens to us, so I'm sure that other people don't like it happen when it happens to them either. So.
Yeah, I mean, our economies are so intertwined. Our basic principles of freedom, liberty, freedom of speech, these are common. We may not share the same constitution or whatever, but we do all derive our understanding of freedom of the press and freedom of speech and freedom of commerce. We all go back to the Magna Carta collectively as two Anglo countries. But when things start spinning out of control, self-preservation becomes much more important, and that's where all this loose talk, better stop. And it's we face some challenges.
Yeah, very much so. I keep on thinking though, I can't remember what it says on the local peace arch up here. I know one that says it's I on one side says children of a common mother, and the other side I can't remember what it says now, but we have to sit back and it's okay to agree to disagree on things, but it shouldn't come to silly inane things to stop being neighbors.
But it is what it is at the moment. We have a myriad of issues that all seem to coalesce around the whole question of immigration and refugee movements. It's a number one election issue in the States above the economy, and that's a big surprise. And I'm not it doesn't surprise me if the same concern in Canada will be made, because no one's asked Canadians whether we think it's a good idea to bring in 1 million people a year. I mean, where are you going to house them? Where are they going to go to school? Where are they going to go to get hospitalization? All these things, this is the last 2 years of a government that has just basically gone off on a tangent here with this, without any reference whatsoever to the economy, to its ability to absorb people, and the ability of the host communities to welcome them, and to like this has got they've gone right off the deep end. And you can see sort of a parallel thinking here with Washington. They kicked their borders open on the south, and then the Canadian response is we bring in more immigrants per capita into this country than any other country in the world. This is so what's driving this? Like, what do they think is going to be the end result here? Is how we stay in power, buying votes for the future? You're not going to be around for the future if you keep doing this. This is not a good idea.
Well, just going back what you were saying too, bringing all these people in, the city municipality that I live in, I think somebody had said that we are getting 12,000 people a month coming in to live in the city. Right now, our schools are overrun with students and just no place to put them. Our school yards are being filled up with portables, and it's not just elementary schools. It's the middle schools and the high schools that are having these ATCO trailers put up to house students.
Yes.
We can't continue that.
Well, the question then is, why did you wreck a fairly well functioning immigration slash refugee program in Canada, for example? What was the purpose of destroying the people's confidence and their respect for them? Why did you decide it was a good idea to bring a whole lot of folks in such numbers as we haven't got a chance yet to work together to assimilate them into the population? And then you wonder why people are angry, or where they look askance at people of different cultures or races suddenly showing up in large numbers, which, by the way, has nothing to do with what they're trying to suggest, is everyone's turned into racist all of it. You never asked anybody how we should do this, and to hide behind the mantle, oh, it's leadership. This is not leadership. That is being shown here. It is wanton destruction of a fairly nicely working immigration refugee program.
Both you and I worked in that system for many years,
Yeah,
and it
you
was
know,
very,
so.
very clear cut. You had this, and this, and you let people in
Everybody
based.
knows these countries are built on immigration. There's never been a question of that. But no one asked, no one was consulted
No.
in the communities here by these leftists, because I don't know what else to call them, that we should, suddenly upend everything and basically use it as a tool to wreck stuff. And then and by the way, the people who suffer the most are the very people they're using to do this. You know, so you know they are somewhat despicable that way, because I saw a young man the other day on YouTube who's from India, who has been here a number of months working at a fast food place. And he said, I can't do this much longer. I can't afford to work here. I don't make enough money. I can't afford to live anywhere because the rents are too high, and I'm heading back to where I came from because you basically conned me into this. And he's right. You
And it
know,
goes back to, we had a system that worked before, but it became a kid in a candy store approach. Oh, well, yeah, we can give you a couple little balls of bubble gum because that's not going to hurt. Well, pretty soon you're giving out more bubble gum, and then it's chocolate bars, and then it's boxes of chocolates, and then it's, we haven't reached a point where we know when to stop yet.
no.
And that's really what happened in our system. And I guess maybe what you had said before, that's what's happening in the United States as well.
Well, it's
Immigration.
the fact that they're be giving cell phones and bus tickets and airplane tickets to go wherever they want to. I mean, the whole business from our friends at the Border Patrol telling us is that their money that the government is trying to give to deal with the problem at the border is not to manage it, but is to find ways to process people to various parts of the country. You know, you're turning into a travel agent and a welfare bureau. So no wonder people are showing up in droves. You get a phone, you get a bunch of gift cards, and you get an airplane or a bus ticket to the destination of your choice. Well, if that isn't a magnet to head north, I don't know what is. So, but anyway, these are and this isn't even a story. This is a fact. So, you know, how this will turn out down there and what the strategic impact on the rest of the continent will be northward looking is anybody's guess, but I would put money on it. It won't end well unless this is dealt with passionately, humanely, and quickly, because time is running out on the patience of the folks on the ground.
And unfortunately, that's just the exact opposite of what most governments are. They don't act quick. They
Yeah.
don't.
Well,
So
anyway,
anyway.
this was a t today was a not a very pleasant discussion when we think about it.
Well, the truth hurts. And I guess that's if you start bringing this up, it if it gets people to think, it gets people to act, then I guess that's a good part of what we're doing. But
I guess. Well, for
anyway.
watching, don't forget to hit the like button, the subscribe button. Let us know what you think underneath on the comments.
Yes. And if you have any other ideas for us to rant about, let us know.
Indeed. All right, Bob. Well, till next week, stay safe, stay warm.
And you too.
All the best.
Take care.